God bless you, bud. Read together. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. Let's pray. Dear God, bless the reading of your word. Pray that you would remove the broken man, the messenger. I confess my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins. Pray that I would be able to minister with clean hands this morning, a pure heart. That you would remove the messenger, that your people would grasp this great biblical principle that we have the treasure, the Word of God, the Gospel, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the glory would be of God and not of ourselves. Let it be so. Holy Spirit, do the work of exalting Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week we started to develop this passage. This will be our second message on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. We spent most of our time last Lord's Day on what we call the antithetical contrast of verse 4. I want to show you that. Look at that. Let's return just for a moment where we left off last Lord's Day. Antithetical is a fancy way of saying opposite, a stark, dramatic contrast, an antithetical contrast. Look at it with me in verse 4. Coming to him, Jesus Christ, as to a living stone. I'm in verse 4, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Think about the great contrast of our precious Lord and Savior. Later on in this very same paragraph, Peter will say, the Lord Jesus is precious not only to God, he is precious in the sight of the believer. But I want you to notice as well, he has been rejected by men, and we spent a lot of time developing that point last week. We also talked about the spiritual house. The spiritual house, praise God, is the church, built on the living stone, built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And the fact that we are now living stones, plural. And I promise we would return to verse 5 this morning. Look at it with me in your Bible, verse 5. This is where we left off last Sunday. You also, as living stones, plural, remember, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Beloved, the church is not built on the foundation of the pastor. The church is not built on the foundation of the most influential person. The church is not built on the foundation of the church leaders. The church is not built on the foundation of the denomination, if there is one. The church is built on Christ, who is the cornerstone. And we are now living stones, plural, built on the Lord Jesus, part of a spiritual house, the church, glorious. Look at it with me in verse 5. being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Glorious, glorious passage. What does the Bible mean when it talks about offering of spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God? What is the priesthood of all believers as it's often explained and extrapolated from this passage? It's such a glorious topic. Let me help you with that this morning. What is the priesthood of all believers? And we're going to answer the question today, what are spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? I think the best definition one could offer related to spiritual sacrifices, quote, spiritual sacrifices mean God honoring spiritual work in the body of Christ done because of Christ under the direction of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God. I want to spend some time this morning before we partake of the Lord's table this morning elaborating specifically on the spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God and what those might be specifically for each one of us this morning. I want to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 51. You have to begin to study this principle in Psalm 51. I want to ask you quickly to turn there with me. If you have your Bible, if not, you can just listen. Psalm 51, please turn there with me. And I want you to look at verse 17 with me. Again, we're answering the question, what are the spiritual sacrifices Peter speaks of that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? Well, very simply, we're talking about God honoring spiritual work, spiritual service in the body of Christ under the direction of Christ, the cornerstone, led by the Holy Spirit of God, informed and guided by the Word of God. And I want to begin in Psalm 51, verse 17, because I think, humbly, this is often a source of confusion, and people think, well, I'm a believer, I want to get busy, I want to do something for God in the church and in the world. Let me get busy and let me just go like crazy and do something for the glory of God. And very often they miss the prerequisite, the principle of the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifices that are genuinely acceptable to God through Christ. And I want to begin with you with a prerequisite for any type of spiritual service. Look at Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God. And what I love about this study this morning is that Peter is using this Old Testament, Old Covenant language related to spiritual sacrifices. He's taking that forward into the New Covenant, speaking to the New Testament believer. And so this is so wonderfully related. Of course, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. We no longer offer sacrifices for the expiation, the forgiveness of sins. Now we're talking about a whole other dimension of sacrifices. And I want to show you this. And David, our precious King David, foreshadows this in Psalm 51. Look at verse 17 with me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is a sure and certain way to offer up to God something that is acceptable to Him, something that is pleasing to Him, something that is an act of worship. When you, precious believer, come to God with a broken spirit over your own sin, your lawlessness, your hypocrisy, your lack of love for God and your fellow man, your inability to keep the law. When you do that, you come and your spirit is broken by the Holy Spirit, whose job is to convict us of sin. When you come before God with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, verse 17, God will not despise that. He will not turn that away. He will accept that as pleasing. May I humbly submit this morning, this is a missing element in so much of what we call Christian service, Christian activity, dare I say Christian ministry, Christian leadership, Christian volunteer work, however you like to describe that. And later in Peter, he's going to put in categories the types of gifts, the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Indeed, we'll talk about this in much greater detail. But for now, one of the spiritual sacrifices that is indelibly imprinted on the heart of every genuine believer is Psalm 51:17. You say this morning, I hear it. I want to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. I want to be acceptable to God. If you want to do that, be like David. What's the context? Look at Psalm 51:1. Go back to the context with me. Look at Psalm 51:1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my sins, my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, my sins. Cleanse me from my iniquity, my lawlessness, my sin. For I know my sin, my iniquity, my transgression, my lawlessness, my sin, my iniquity, my transgression is ever before me. Against you, God, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, in the hidden part. You will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite our heart, O God, you will not despise. Peter was a man who grasped this. He understood this. He was a man who sinned against God. He denied Christ. He came back in repentance and faith, very much like David. After David's great sins against God and against man, David comes back. He repents. He turns. And we have wisdom this morning about a sacrifice that you can offer to God that will be accepted. It will be pleasing as a church corporately, as a pastor and as people, beloved. We are so sinful. We fall so far short of the glory of God. There is so much hypocrisy in this room. There is so much lawlessness. There is so much, dare we say, blatant denial of what we profess on Sunday. That when we come and we say, God, I am guilty. I am the chief of sinners. You come with a broken spirit. You come with a contrite heart. That is a sacrifice. That is acceptable. That is pleasing to God. God longs for people to come to Him in that way. He will forgive you your sins. He will forgive you your iniquity, your lawlessness, your hypocrisy, your immorality. Christ died on the cross, shed His blood, rose again from the grave to forgive the worst sinner, not those who think they're righteous. This is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Praise God. Praise God this morning. Let me give you a couple more items that are trustworthy examples of sacrifices of praise. Another example of this is prayer. Any time you come to God in the name of the Son, praying for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, every time you pray for the glory of God, every time you pray for the lost, every time you pray for the sanctification of the believer, any time you intercede for someone who is hurting physically or spiritually, any time a Christian goes to prayer in the name of Christ, that is a spiritual sacrifice that is pleasing to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this we learn is a sure way to be in the will of God. It is prayer. Another example of this is giving your body to the work of the ministry. Paul talks about this in Romans 12. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Tremendous parallel passage. It's the same idea that Paul lays forth in Romans chapter 6. Present the members of your body as instruments of righteousness. Anytime you say yes to serving God, whether you have a specific ability to speak as you serve God, or you're simply a diakonos, a servant, doing things that are very seemingly mundane, or areas of work, physical work, whatever it may be. When you present your body and you say, yes, this needs to be done, this is a spiritual sacrifice that is holy. It is acceptable to God. It is a spiritual service of worship, saying yes to work of the ministry, wherever God leads you to do that work. Tremendous. Another example of this, of a spiritual sacrifice, is very simply the principle of praise. Every one of us this morning who is a believer, who was singing those great songs with the tremendous theology, born to raise the sons of men, singing the great truths of the Christian faith from a heart that believes them, born to give them second birth. When you sing, when you praise God from a heart that believes what you say, even if your voice is as wretched as mine, that is pleasing to God. Praise. That's why the true church is always a worshiping church, a praising church, because praise is how we offer a sacrifice to God that is acceptable. Worship, ascribing literally praise, worship, worth. Ship, ascribing worth to the truth of Christ, who God is. This is what we do. Listen to Psalm 69. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than the sacrifices of ox and young bull. That's Psalm 69, 30 and 31. Another way to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God is simply by doing good and sharing. Listen to the writer of Hebrews, and it's so profound to use the book of Hebrews under this subject as a parallel, because the writer of Hebrews grasps the Old Testament sacrificial system better than anyone, perhaps, any of the New Testament writers. And he's also using the same technical language of sacrifice, but he's taking it forward into the New Covenant, New Testament. And so listen to the writer of Hebrews. Do not neglect doing good and sharing. How come? For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Don't you love how general that is? Do good and share. You don't need a book to read to understand that. You don't need another source. Just do good and share. And God is pleased with that. Tremendous general principle on offering up a spiritual sacrifice. Another example of this comes from Romans 15. Anytime you speak forth truth, the gospel, the word of God, you are offering up a spiritual sacrifice of praise that is acceptable to God. Paul says this explicitly. Listen to Romans 15, 16. Because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Tremendous. Anytime you do that, anytime you bring forth the word of God in someone's life, that is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then finally today, I want to close. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me, please. But just for a moment, let's close before we take the Lord's table. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's continue and close in verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 6 with me. Let's close here just for a moment. And now again, Peter is going to get back to this. I call this the antithetical contrast. It's so rich. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. Peter is quoting from Isaiah chapter 28, 16, 8, 14, Psalm 18, 22. It's very interesting. In Matthew 21, 42, Jesus applies this exact same imagery that we just read to himself. In Acts chapter 4, 11, Peter uses these verses to confront the Christ-rejecting Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin. From the earliest days of Christianity, the church has accepted these Old Testament references to the stone as prophetic, pointing toward the historical Jesus Christ. And last week, we spent, again, a lot of time on this principle before us in verse 7. Look at it with me, the contrast. This precious value is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, look at verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Let's close here as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. The Bible is a book of contrast, light and darkness, heaven and hell, God and Satan, Christ the Antichrist, light, darkness. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the flesh. And so it is in this passage. Precious in the sight of God, precious for the believer. But I want you to notice in verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And this principle is just growing exponentially every day until the Lord comes. The hatred for Christ, the things of God, the gospel, the word of God, the church. There's going to be a new feature film coming up quickly that tries to portray the Christian church as some type of political cult. And to be honest with you, it's a brilliant strategy. You take everything that is true about the historic Christian faith, you take everything that is good and right and wonderful about the true church, and you mix it with all that is wrong, all that is filled with half-truths, lies, inaccuracies, and you pretend that it's all the same, and then you tell the culture, you see, you have to run away from anything that is Christian, the Bible, the church, Jesus, preaching. Run away from that because that's all the most dangerous thing that we have in our country. It is Christianity. This is going to be in theaters coming up. Jesus Christ may be choice and precious for you today. He is choice and precious in the sight of God. He is choice and precious for me. For the believer, he is choice and precious. For one who does not believe in him as Lord and Savior, he is a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. If you're following the culture, how people are responding to genuine Christianity, it should take your breath away in the public square. It should take your breath away. And it's always been so. Jesus said that. If they hated me, they will hate you. As we close this morning. Just another thought. Very important thought. And I started with this last Lord's Day. Do not be frustrated by the majority of people in the world and in Europe and in the Arab nations and all over the globe that reject the historic Christian faith, the gospel, the word of God. Do not be frustrated by that. Most people in our world this morning, the overwhelming majority, place no value on the person and work of Christ. The Bible says he is choice and precious in the sight of God. He is choice and precious in the sight of the believer. And when one is drawn by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit of God, to believe immediately, there's a transition, there's a change. We view our Lord and Savior differently. And as we close, as we prepare for the Lord's table in a group this size, always it would be remiss for the pastor to not extend the gospel to every single person here. The gospel is free. The price for your sin has been paid. There's nothing you can do to earn it, to receive it, to work for it. The gospel is true. Christ proved it to be true by rising from the grave. And our problem is that we have not kept the law. Every person in this room is equally sinful, and I stand as the chief, the worst, the greatest lawbreaker, who's been forgiven the most. But God has charged me to offer this grace, this gift, this gospel, this euangelion, this good news to all who repent and believe. You have the promise that God will forgive you your sins, make you His child, praise God. And once that happens, He becomes choice and precious, and we say yes. We say yes to verse 5. We say, God, I want to offer myself up as a spiritual sacrifice acceptable for you and for every believer in this room. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what you're doing. Are you doing anything in your body to offer up yourself as a spiritual sacrifice to God, a sacrifice that is acceptable to Him? Let Him speak to you about that today. Let's pray. We humble ourselves, dear God, as we open the Word, as we read it. We thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit that brings weight and gravity to these issues, makes them real, jolts us away from the world via our conscience, via truth. We thank You, God, Holy Spirit, that You take the Word of God and you transform it from being words on the page to being living and active, sharper than a sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I'm grateful, Holy Spirit, for Your work of encouragement and conviction. And dear God, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I pray this time would be pleasing, and even we would offer up another spiritual sacrifice now that is acceptable to You through Jesus Christ, partaking of the Lord's table, being obedient to the command of the Lord, that we would remember His death, His shed blood, His resurrection, and that we would do that, dear God, with hearts that are clean through confession, and that You would be pleased today, dear God, and that You would accept our spiritual sacrifices, and that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.